This is Twit.
What pops up increasingly as people pick up their phones is special technology that reads the biometric information in their face and unlocks their phone. I believe we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but wanted to bring it up with you too, Fred, that we have the first instance, widely reported instance anyway, of a suspect who was told by law, he was basically just, his face was put in front of his phone to unlock the phone so that the officer could get whatever information the officer could get from the unlocked phone and continue the investigation. Apparently, the officer did not keep the phone unlocked for long enough to get too much information, and didn't also collect the actual password, which let's hope was more secure than Kanye's. So it didn't wind up doing too much good. But this whole idea of just, hey, look at your phone, and what that means for Fifth Amendment jurisprudence and how it's different than asking for someone's password is something that we've covered on the show throughout the years. This strange dichotomy between biometric security versus password security, and it seems like the courts of the land are still they don't think it's a strange dichotomy. They're happy to let the dichotomy exist, and law enforcement is sort of pushing ahead on both fronts. Fred, what did you think of this particular face unlocking issue?
Yeah, it's a fascinating issue because I think you're right. By and large, the courts of the land have leaned sort of heavily back into traditional Fifth Amendment distinctions between items of knowledge and physical action. And, you know, to briefly law splain on that, it's the idea that the password that I have memorized, I cannot be forced to divulge that because that's testimonial. But, you know, the fingerprint that the police tell me to put on my phone, that's a physical act and thus non-testimonial. I'm aware of, I think it was one case in Illinois, I want to say, where a magistrate judge found otherwise on a motion to suppress that came before them and said, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head what the exact sort of detailed reasoning on the case was, but said, you know, face ID style unlocking should get the same kind of Fifth Amendment protection because it's revealing or requiring sort of the same concept of security that a password does. And it was appealed up to the district judge. The district judge overturned it on the kind of typical legal reasoning that we've seen elsewhere of, no, that's a physical act and just fine. And I think it's an interesting point of tension between sort of conceptually what we think of the Fifth Amendment protecting and or the Fourth Amendment protecting and the actual mechanics of that law. And I think that's what I find fascinating about it is it's kind of mismatched because the technology all of a sudden works in a way that the people writing these laws and even writing these cases, you know, two decades ago weren't even thinking about.
Right. And I think the people making the technology aren't thinking about the ramifications that Apple's not sitting there designing the iPhone 10 or other phone makers that also have this technology. They're not thinking, oh, well, we're going to have to build in some way to turn this off so that people can protect absolutely under the uncertain law that we have in the land, their Fifth Amendment rights. It probably occurs to nobody during the design and production of these devices. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think that there's two really interesting things here is that in another one of our articles that we were looking at if the not if the facial recognition not just happened once, but if it happened repeatedly. So they were in that instance, it was looking at, you know, how many times you have to not have the facial recognition work to then have the password not work. But if you had a continuous facial recognition that was continually unlocking it, I think that you would get into more interesting cases rather than just a singular look. Your physical attributes, whether it's your biometrics in your thumbs or whether it's your face biometrics, hasn't been considered a Fifth Amendment problem. But I think it would be more interesting, for instance, if you had a case where you where if you or your eyes were closed, then it would lock your computer or lock your phone. So then the in that instance, the police officer would have to hold the phone up to your face, and you would have to keep your eyes open. I think that that would draw a compelled sort of instance. I think the court would have a hard time to do that. I think the other interesting strain on this is that in the Carpenter decision, Justice Gorsuch really wanted them to rule on the grounds of that it was a search of your papers. It was a property rights analysis of the Fourth Amendment, which specifically prohibits the search of papers. And I think that at least for his analysis and perhaps Kavanaugh's analysis in that realm, you're going to get into the case where how isn't your search of your phone the search of your papers, and it's a property rights violation. And I think that's another interesting way to draw this line. But I think, I think that, you know, as these gets better, I think Apple will be thinking about how do we make this a violation. And I think a continuous authentication, you know, every 15 seconds or every 30 seconds you have to look at your face, I think that poses a much, much more difficult hypothetical for the police.
Yeah, just to clarify, though, I do think that the way that at least the iPhones work, your eyes do have to be open for the biometric face ID to unlock the phone. And apparently,
I think it'd be really difficult to say that you have to open your eyes, because that is very like you having to say what your password is.
I see what you're saying.
I think that would be a difficult, like if you just sat there and had your eyes closed and didn't open your phone, I think that would be a really, really difficult case.
Again, the number of people who would get, you know, that's what they needed to do is probably very small and probably pretty hardened, you know, that they're thinking that far ahead that, should this ever happen to interrupt my criminal activities, this is what I need to do. This piece at Forbes that Fred is quoted in has an additional little detail about how Face ID works that I was not aware of. Apparently, it has a liveness feature where it tries to determine whether or not the person is alive, not only whether, because you could be dead and your eyes open, obviously. Happy Halloween. but it's trying to determine if that's the case. And if so, it's not going to unlock for you. I'm curious to know how well that works. Per Forbes, Apple's tech has liveness detection that attempts to determine if the visage looking at the device is alive. Again, we could spend all day, I think, talking about the rights of the dead, which are not many, but we're not going to do that today. Stefan?
I think this, to a lay person listening to this conversation, and I think it must be incredible for them to think that, you know, that what hangs in the balance and the Fifth Amendment rights that you have against self-incrimination with something like, you know, a police search of your phone is whether or not, you know, the technology requires you to open or close your eyes when you're looking at your phone. I mean, just take a step back for a second, take off your lawyer hat and think about how absurd that sounds. It's really stunning. But I think, you know, from my perspective, it seems nuts to distinguish inputting a password and using your face on constitutional grounds. I think that's a distinction that is so unwieldy and requires such intellectual hair splitting that I'm not sure how it can be maintained. The thought that a face without speech communicates information that is quasi-testimonial in nature, I think is non-controversial to anybody who's ever had a conversation. Mm-hmm. and for it to have constitutional consequences, you know, whether or not a word is being spoken, to me just is so bizarre that I actually do find this fascinating and a little bit, you know, it's a good entryway, I think, for this discussion for people who aren't necessarily lawyers to kind of understand just how difficult some of these decisions can be on a constitutional level. So, mm-hmm. You know, my own view, not necessarily informed by a deep analysis of the constitutional principles, but just basic common sense, is that non-speech communication can be testimonial in nature, depending on the context. And in this particular context, when it's being used to unlock a phone, and it has no there's no policy justification for treating it differently than an input of a password. It is ludicrous to treat facial recognition as different from sort of pure testimonial input of a password. So I hate to think that our rights hang in the balance of this type of analysis, but unfortunately they do.
Yes, because as you say, you know, nobody's thinking along those lines, and the function is precisely the same. If Kanye had had Face ID on his phone, no one would have had the occasion to mock him.